Queer Pen, Chapter 3. The heat was beginning to get on everyone's nerves. Even the guards who did not have to sleep in the shacks were nervous and irritable. Inmates who smoked cigarettes were sent to solitary if they did not stamp out butts, and fights became common. Even Lonnie was affected with a jumpiness which she could not avoid. Then, one night after Animal had got to work on meat, a conversation which had started between Reb and Jazz in a whisper gathered volume until they were almost shouting. Meat issued a few words of warning, but it didn't seem to stop them. "Reb, please, please, you know I need it. Why, hold out on me," Jazz pleaded, his voice sobbing. "You heard me, you bastard. No money, no junk. Now that's my final word on it." Reb's voice was cold and callous. Lonnie wondered what he meant by that statement, for Lonnie was still pretty naive when it came to many prison remarks. "But Reb, I don't have any money." Jazz's voice was a hoarse whisper. "You know my folks don't send me any until the first of the month, and that ain't until the middle of next week. Reb, I gotta have it. I gotta." "You just gotta shit and jump from under it, buddy," Reb said. "Fuck you. Who do you think you are, Elizabeth Taylor?" Jazz was on his knees, pleading and crying, the tears streaming down his cheeks. He made a pathetic sight in the moonlight. The view turned Lonnie's stomach. "Reb, I'm going to pieces. You got the stuff. You can't do this to me. You know you can't." "Oh, I can't, huh?" Reb said, slapping Jazz hard across the face. "Let's just see if I can't. Let's just see who can hold out the longest." "Why don't you two quiet down?" Meat whispered. "You'll have one of the guards here in a minute if you don't shut up. Then you'll both be in hot water. Might both end up in solitary." Jazz stopped pleading vocally, but he sobbed. His crying was a hacking, nauseating thing. Lonnie felt sick. He'd never seen Jazz act in that manner. He was like a weak, spoiled kid crying over a toy which a playmate had taken away from him. "All right," said Reb's voice. "All right, shut up, punk. But before I give it to you, you gotta show me just how bad you want it, Jazz. If you want it that bad, you must be willing to do anything for it." "Yes, yes," Jazz whispered hysterically, his voice a whisper. "I'll do anything you say, Reb. Anything." "Then suck on this," Reb growled, opening his pants. For a brief instant, Jazz seemed horrified. He fell back on his heels, his face contorted, disbelief in every feature.
I couldn't, Reb."
Reb fastened his pants again. "Then I guess you don't need it bad, punk."
"I do. I do. Christ, Reb, my gut is aching. I gotta have it, please."
Jazz laid his head against the other man's thigh and sobbed as his hands clutched at the trouser legs. He cried with chest-heaving sobs, rubbing his face against the coarse cotton.
"Please, Reb, please.
I need it. And I need it, too," Reb said, trying to free the man's hands from his legs. "I need it real bad, Jazz," Reb said, mimicking the other man's whining tone of voice. "I got a real bad heart on, and I really need it."
"Reb, why don't you stop it?"
Meat exploded.
"Either give it to him or don't, but for Christ's sake, shut up."
Reb didn't answer. For a few minutes, there was only the sound of Jazz's sobbing. Finally, Jazz said something in a hoarse, low voice.
"What's that?" Reb asked.
"I'll do what you want."
"Tell me what you'll do," Reb said sadistically.
There was a pause.
"I'll suck it. For God's sake, I'll suck it, but say you'll give me the junk."
Lonnie watched in fascination as Reb undid his trouser fly. Jazz stared in horror, but as soon as Reb made a move to close the fly once more, he hastily applied his mouth. Jazz gagged several times. He was obviously a novice, but it only seemed to please Reb all the more. He moved his mouth and lips noisily, and Animal watched somewhat enviously, although it was apparent that Jazz was not enjoying himself.
"Reb, do you have to do this?"
Lonnie asked quietly. His voice, coming in the stillness of the night, seemed out of place in its calmness.
"Jealous, baby," Reb chuckled. "Needn't be. You get it 4 nights a week, so I ain't depriving you none. Won't hurt to let Jazz do a little teething, now will it?"
Reb looked down at the man, enjoying his debasement. His chest swelled with pride. This was the type of situation in which he gloated.
"Yes, sir, Jazz is just getting a little pacifying to keep him from crying. Every baby needs a pacifier, don't you know? Babies need something to suck on to keep them quiet."
Jazz choked, his mortification complete with Reb's words. He stopped what he was doing.
"Ain't that enough for you, Reb?" he pleaded. "Ain't that enough?" No, Reb said strongly. Finish the job or no junk.
Reb grabbed Jazz by the shoulder and shook him viciously.
And when I say finish, I mean all the way, hear me? Do I have to spell it out? All the way, chum, means down to the last drop.
Jazz continued sobbing, even after he'd returned to his job.
Lonnie glanced at Meat, who was sitting directly across from him on his bunk with Animal between his legs. Animal had finished his duty long before, but he hesitated to return to his bunk, for to do so would have meant pushing past Reb, and the man was in no mood for interruptions. Meat seemed transfixed by the sight. His eyes shone in the moonlight, and although there was strong sadism there, Meat was merely enjoying the sexiness of it. There was a strange, haunted look in his eyes, and as he looked at Reb, Lonnie wondered what he was thinking.
Reb breathed heavily, and he grabbed the musician's head and held on with both hands, pulling the head closer to him and Jazz until Jazz started to choke and gag.
Lonnie watched and saw Jazz's throat violently contracting, and as he gagged and coughed, he got a view of white fluid flying from Jazz's nose. He knew what it was, and it disgusted him.
Lonnie turned and faced the wall so that he would not have to view the spectacle any longer.
Now, that wasn't so bad, was it? Reb chuckled. Kind of liked it, didn't you?
When Jazz didn't answer, Reb shook him.
Oh, God, I did what you wanted. Isn't that enough? Jazz pleaded. Now, give me the junk!
Not until you say how you liked it. I loved it, Jazz said in the most unconvincing tone of voice.
In spite of his reluctance, Lonnie stole one more glance to the center of the shack.
Say it again.
I loved it, Reb. I loved sucking you. I loved it, Jazz cried, tears streaming down his cheeks.
Reb grabbed hold of his cock with his hand and rubbed it all over Jazz's face, smearing whatever was left of his semen on the forehead and cheeks.
Sure, you loved it. You better, because you're going to have to do that every single time, you hear? Every goddamn time you want junk, you got to suck it.
Yes. Yes, Jazz pleaded, and he fell to the floor when Reb's hands released him. He buried his face in his hands and sobbed. His debasement complete, Jazz could only cry. He had been mercilessly humiliated before everyone, but he couldn't help himself.
All right, came Reb's voice. He went to his bunk and took a package from his footlocker.
Lonnie recognized it as the same package which Maddox had handed to Reb. He realized Jazz was a junkie, a narcotics addict, and Maddox was smuggling in the stuff for Reb to peddle. He knew that Reb was not himself addicted, but God only knew how many others in the prison were, and how many depended upon Reb's services.
Lonnie looked at Meat, who finally glanced his way.
Meat's expression seemed a little surprised, and Lonnie figured that his own features must have reflected in disgust and horror.
Reb approached the sobbing Jazz and threw something down to him on the floor. The musician scrambled for it like a starved rat after a bit of cheese.
Reb looked at Lonnie as he sat on the bunk. When he came forward, Lonnie felt his stomach sink with fear.
Would he beat him? Christ, I hope not, Lonnie thought.
Instead, Reb cupped Lonnie's chin in his hand and squeezed it gently and affectionately. His thumb ran across one cheek where a tear had fallen, and Lonnie realized for the first time that he'd been crying. He hadn't noticed before.
What's the matter, sweetheart? Reb asked, his tone solicitous. Worried about losing Papa?
Well, don't cry, sweetheart, because I'm shacking with you tomorrow night. You won't be cut out of your nookie, don't fear.
Reb returned to his bunk and flopped down heavily on the mattress, breathing a heavy sigh of satisfaction.
Lonnie was aware of a match being struck, and he caught sight of Jazz's face. Jazz was holding a small spoon over the flame, not quite letting the flame touch the metal. His eyes gleamed and his hand trembled. When the flame was extinguished, Lonnie could see nothing. A few seconds later, he heard Jazz sigh. He moaned in pleasure, and then there was a small tinkling sound, which Lonnie realized must have been made when Jazz hit his needle or whatever apparatus was necessary for the injection. Lonnie fell into a fitful sleep, his dreams disturbing and nightmarish. He dreaded that Reb might someday force him to become an addict. He wondered if he should tell Sawyer about what had happened. But this was impossible. Either Reb would kill him, or one of the many unknown addicts who depended upon him for their supply of junk. His stomach writhed with fear. What could he do? He tossed and turned. The following morning, Jazz seemed normal. Not nervous, but his cheeks seemed hollower and his eyes deeper in their sockets. They stared dreamily into space when Lonnie looked at him, and he seemed thinner than ever before.
Liney decided that at the rate he was going, Jazz would become a living skeleton in a matter of months. He didn't look at all healthy. But he was calm. If he was revolted by his forced perversion, he made no mention of it, nor did he show irritation with Reb. Days passed. Reb did not neglect Lani, but somehow the pleasure was never the same again. Having seen the extent to which Reb could go, Lani was suddenly filled with revulsion for the man. He could not even conjure up a vision of Phil Sawyer, try though he might. But Reb didn't seem to notice. Once convinced that Lani was in love with him, he needed no reaffirmation. When through fear, Lani went limp and allowed his body to be possessed, Reb merely took it as a matter of course, thinking that his passivity was due to the extreme pleasure which the fucking gave him. Meat worked close to Lani in the field, a few days after the incident in the shack. At first, they said little to each other, but during a pause when Sawyer let them sit quietly for a 10-minute break, Meat broke the silence. "What's your opinion of what's been going on?" Meat asked. Lani shrugged. "I think it's horrible. Jazz needs the stuff bad. It's obvious that he's on his last legs. Meat, I don't know how much longer he can go on like that. He's dying on his feet."
"Yeah," Meat agreed. "He don't look healthy."
Then for a while, Meat regarded the thin boy seriously. "Are you in love with Reb?" Lani looked at him incredulously. "Of course not!" His mouth twitched. "What makes you ask that?"
"Well, you don't complain none when he fucks you," Meat shrugged simply.
"You know how Reb is as well as I do," Lani said. "He always gets what he wants. What would you have me do, resist him? Get raped and probably put in the hospital?"
"Well, you got a funny way of showing you don't like it," Meat chuckled. "I saw you squirming your ass all around underneath Reb like you was loving it."
Lani bit his lip. "Sometimes, well... sometimes there are things you can't help feeling, Meat. Regardless of who the person is, you react to the stimulation. I'll admit that a few times Reb really got to me. But ever since this thing with Jazz, I just clam up when he touches me. He revolts me. I can't enjoy it like I was beginning to."
"Then you did enjoy it." Meat's face looked interested.
"Yes," Lani admitted. "I've heard of that," Meat said reflectively.
"A lot of guys have told me that if you get fucked often enough, you get to like it. I guess they were right."
"In a way," Lani said, "you sure like to watch people, don't you?"
Meat blushed, and Lani was surprised at this reaction. "I guess. But well, skip it."
"What?" Lani was insistent.
"Well," again Meat blushed, "I guess you might say in a way I'm sort of jealous."
"Jealous?" Lani asked incredulously.
"Well, I guess you're like everybody else, Lon,"
Meat whispered and picked up a handful of earth. He wadded it into a tight little ball.
"Everybody thinks it's so terrific to have a big dick. Everybody thinks I'm the luckiest guy in the world because of the way I'm built."
He bit his lip and threw the ball of mud against some of the cane stalks.
"Honest, Lon, it's hell. I mean hell. Women run screaming when they see me coming. The only guy who could ever get his mouth around it was Animal, and God knows he ain't no beauty. But it's better'n my fist. But when I see Reb shagging you, the two of you tearing off a piece, or like the other night when Jazz was working on him, hell, man, I get jealous. I can't do those things. It's just physically impossible."
Lani began to see what the man meant. He had mistakenly assumed that someone must be able to absorb the monstrous equipment, but it was apparent that Meat had little human contact.
"You mean..."
Lani didn't finish. Meat looked at him. Lani wondered whether it was just perspiration running down his face. His skin was beet red.
"Yeah, that's what I mean," Meat sighed. "Here I am, 30 years old, my next birthday, and I'm still a virgin. I ain't never had a piece of tail."
Then Meat looked at Lani suspiciously. "You better not repeat any of this, Lon, so help me. If you do, you know I won't, Meat," Lon whispered, his face sympathetic.
"Well, just don't,
that's all," Meat said, again lumping some of the earth into a ball and throwing it. In a way, he seemed to be expressing his own bitterness at his affliction.
"There's bound to be someone, Meat," Lani said. "There's got to be.
There are other men like you. I've read a lot. There are a lot of them, and they must find some women who are built large enough to take them."
"Yeah, but where?"
Then he looked around absently.
"Besides, kid, I'm in here for life. Remember?"
Lani had forgotten that Meat had been convicted of armed robbery.
Someone had been killed in the scramble that followed, and somewhere Lonnie dimly remembered that it was a cop. Just then, Sawyer snapped his fingers at the minutes as a signal to return to work. "Did I ever tell you about that bastard Maddox?" Meat asked, pulling weeds and placing them in the straw hamper. "No. You know the stable over to the side of our shack?" Lonnie nodded. "Well, Maddox took me in there one day. Him and that friend of his, Thompson, or whatever his name is. George Thompson," Lonnie said, busily pulling weeds. "The two of them took me there. There's a mare that stalled in there, and they made me hump her just for their own kicks." Lonnie stared briefly at the man and realized that he was not kidding. "Yeah, that's right," Meat said in answer to his questioning gaze. "They made me screw the horse. They got a big charge out of that. I could have killed both of them. They kept making fun of me, teasing me, and saying I should stick to horses." "Well, they're sadistic bastards anyway," Lonnie said. "Maybe, well, there ought to be someone besides Animal Meat." "I don't know any. I sure ain't attracted to old Preach. Besides, he's in for seducing minors, so he ain't interested in any of us anyway. He only likes little kids. And Jazz is about shot. Not my type anyway. Reb is out. He'd kill anybody who tried to fuck him." Lonnie stopped pulling weeds. By the process of elimination, that left only himself. Meat looked at him and then looked down hurriedly, returning to his work. "Don't worry, kid," Meat sighed. "I guess it would kill you, so you don't have to be afraid that I'll rape you." Lonnie said nothing for a long while. It had started him to wondering. He had seen Meat's impossibly large cock, and he felt fairly sure that he couldn't take it. But still, he was afraid of Reb. He wondered if he might possibly make a strong ally out of Meat and use him for protection. But Meat had already undergone many painful experiences. A human being needs contact with another human, male or female, and Meat had been deprived of contact. Lonnie couldn't promise anything and later on turn him down. "Maybe someday, Meat," Lonnie whispered. "Reb would probably kill me." "Thanks," Meat smiled and patted Lonnie's arm. "That took guts. But I ain't looking to cause you no trouble." The next day was Sunday. All morning long, Lonnie thought about the handsome Meat and his impossible dimensions. He wondered if he dared, but of course he didn't feel the same way about Meat that he felt about Phil Sawyer. He didn't think there could ever be as much communication between them as he had with the guard. Meat was basic, simple, but beneath it all there was goodness. He had a certain pathetic honesty which struck a sympathetic chord in Lonnie's breast, and he wished that he could help the man. He cursed himself for becoming so involved in other inmates' lives, but he realized that it was unavoidable. After all, he lived with them day and night, even if he didn't consider himself of the same caste. Even Sawyer didn't consider him a criminal, and had said as much. That afternoon, Lonnie busied himself with the shade of the old cypress tree, but Sawyer didn't show up. Lonnie was a little bit irritated with himself when he remembered that Phil had told him earlier in the week that he would be having that Sunday off and was going home to see his family. He wasn't married, but he did have a father and mother living. Lonnie learned the man was unmarried and 29 years old. Lonnie tired of the watercoloring and was about to return to the shack when he saw Reb and Jazz leaving it. They headed for the barn, and Lonnie wondered what they were going to be doing there. What reason could possibly make them go to the barn? Then he saw Thompson and Maddox waiting in the shadow at the barn door. After hearing Meat's tale about what Maddox had forced him to do with the mare, Lonnie found his curiosity aroused. Perhaps they were going to do the same thing to Jazz. These men were capable of it. Lonnie had seen Maddox hand the package to Reb, so he was pretty sure that Maddox was in on whatever Reb had going for him. He crept to the rear of the barn. There was a large knot hole in one of the boards through which he might see what was happening inside without being observed. Jazz appeared to be resigned. Lonnie could get a good view of him through the knot hole. The interior of the barn was dim in comparison to the bright sunshine outdoors, and the chinks in the wood let sunshine appear as golden streaks, striping everything, including the four men. Lonnie was too far away to hear what was said, but whatever Reb spoke, his facial expression in combination with hand and arm movements conveyed a lot of meaning. Reb was forcing Jazz to perform as he had done once before in the shack. Maddox and Thompson watched, leering. Maddox was getting plumper, which didn't help his looks any. Thomas was tall and lean, better looking than Maddox, although neither would be anyone's choice. He watched poor Jazz on his knees, obeying Reb's command. This time, he showed less hesitation than he had the other night. Apparently, it was only the way Reb would let him have junk. Maddox and Thompson smiled and passed a few words between them. Lonnie noticed that Thompson's hand kept pulling and squeezing his cock. Finally, Reb grabbed Jazz's hand and obviously climaxed. As he did, Thompson's hand undid his fly and pulled out the cock he'd been so attentively stroking. Lonnie looked long and hard at Thompson's penis. It was longer and plumper than Reb's, and he decided that if one only stared at the cock, one could possibly find it attractive. Too bad the rest of Thompson had to go along with it. Jazz was forced to treat Thompson as he had Reb. The other two men clearly enjoyed watching. Occasionally, Maddox would pat Thompson on the buttocks and make some comment which made Reb and the other man laugh. It didn't take too long for Thompson to come. Apparently, he'd become pretty excited watching Jazz with Reb. The next obvious move came from Maddox. When Lonnie saw Maddox's short, fat prick appear, he felt disgusted. Poor Jazz looked like a zombie. He was dumbly obeying orders while his nerve endings screamed for narcotic. Knowing that these three men controlled the only means of stopping that interior screaming, Jazz was ready to do anything they asked. He sucked for a long time on Maddox, longer than he had on the other two. Finally, Maddox seemed satisfied, and Jazz slumped down on his ankles in his kneeling position. He kept wiping his mouth, and his face was very pale. Lonnie watched the dark, sunken eyes. Jazz's face began to contort in a series of convulsions. After a strong effort, Jazz leaned forward and vomited. Lonnie couldn't stand to look at it. He knew what must be coming up. The expressions on Reb and the two guards showed they were pleased with Jazz's regurgitation. Reb's face was very animated when he began to talk. Maddox and Thompson listened intently, and Jazz only knelt there dumbly, trying to wipe his mouth with the back of his hand and finding it covered with what had come up. He seemed doubly nauseated and threw up again. Maddox began to undo his belt, and for a moment Lonnie feared he was going to beat poor Jazz. Instead, the guard dropped his pants around his ankles. He did the same thing with his baggy underwear and then turned around with his back to the others. He then leaned forward, bent over, and with his elbows resting on his knees, presented his fat, horrid bottom to the other men. Reb was talking excitedly to Jazz while Thompson stood there, and then on a word from Reb, Thompson approached his buddy and spread the flabby buttocks wide. Jazz was shaking his head wildly. His mouth moved tremulously when Reb ordered him to do something. Then Reb seemed to get very angry. Lonnie imagined Reb was threatening to withhold the junk. As the guard held Maddox's fat cheeks widespread, Reb got behind Jazz and cupped his head in his hands, forcing Jazz's face closer to the flabby flesh. Jazz was struggling, even knowing that he was endangering his chances of retaining the source of his junk. My God, Lonnie thought. Jesus, not with Maddox. Anyone but Maddox. But Reb pushed relentlessly forward until Jazz's mouth was forced to contact the revolting anus. Reb and Thompson were obviously enjoying the situation. Maddox's head was hidden from Lonnie's view, but he had no doubt that the other man was enjoying it every bit as much, if not more. Lonnie could stand no more. Sobbing in an impotent rage, he returned to the shack and threw himself upon his cot where he pounded the hard mattress with his fists. If only he were strong, he would love to beat the three of them until they begged for mercy. A half hour later, he heard Thompson and Maddox talking just outside the shack. He couldn't understand what was being said. There was just enough volume for him to identify their voices. Reb was chuckling along with them. Then their voices receded, and when Lonnie turned on the cot, he could see the three men walking toward the mess hall together. The sun was getting low, and Lonnie's stomach was empty. He was hot and sweaty and felt unclean, so he decided to take a shower before going to the mess hall. When Lonnie walked through the creaking door, he found Meat already there under the spraying water. "Hi," Meat greeted him. Lonnie merely shook his head. He hesitated to speak, for he was still under the spell of what he'd witnessed through the knothole. They showered in silence for a time before Lonnie was aware that Meat was slowly washing his cock. When Lonnie looked at the other man's face, his heart stopped, for he saw an expression which he'd never seen there before. It was a miserable one, filled with despair and dejection. "It really bothers you, doesn't it?" Lonnie asked. Meat nodded his head and bit his lip. "Christ, Lon, if you only... Do you know what I mean? How does it feel to connect with someone? A real human, I mean. I'd love to know how it feels to be inside somebody." Lonnie felt the hopelessness of the situation. He wished that he could offer himself to the man, but he knew that he'd end up in the hospital for major surgery. Meat came and stood very close to him, the slipperiness of his soapy cop rubbing against Lonnie's body. "Do something for me, baby," Meat begged, holding his wobbling prick. Lonnie took the penis and rubbed his soapy palm around the head. Meat sighed and shuddered. "Help me, Lonnie," he whispered. "Help me." Lonnie continued with the palm action, and Meat seemed to appreciate the attention. They seemed in no danger of being disturbed, for the other men had gone to the mess hall. They'd probably shower after the meal, just before bedtime. "Oh, Lonnie," Meat whispered, his head close to their man's ear. His arm slipped about Lonnie's shoulder and squeezed him closer, his hand kneading his upper arm. Lonnie was enjoying pleasuring Meat, for he had always liked him. Meat's IQ wasn't very high, but his personality counted. He was considerate and pleasant to be around, even if he couldn't offer much in the way of conversation. "Have you..." Lonnie began, but stopped suddenly.
"Have I what?" Meat asked.
"Oh, nothing."
"No. What? I want to know what you were thinking," Meat whispered, his breath gaspy because of the pleasure he was experiencing.
"Well, you might get angry if I asked it."
"It's too personal, Meat. Just forget about it."
"No, I won't forget about it. I want to know what you were going to ask me," Meat insisted.
"Well, have you ever thought about, well, switching the roles?"
"Huh?" Meat didn't understand.
"Well, I mean, if you can't get, well, united with someone the usual way," Lonnie hesitated.
"Have you thought of letting someone else get into you?"
"You mean fuck me?"
Meat's facial expression hadn't changed. He didn't seem surprised. His eyelids were halfway lowered because of the pleasure brought by Lonnie's swirling palm over the nerve endings on the head of his cock.
"Yes," Lonnie answered.
Meat seemed to think a while. His tongue flicked about his lower lip and his eyes closed.
"Christ, Lonnie, if you let a guy fuck you, that makes you a fruit."
"Do you consider me a fruit?" Lonnie asked.
"Sure," Meat answered unaffectedly.
For a moment, Lonnie felt a trifle angry. He hadn't thought that Meat considered him that way. He thought it would have been obvious to anyone that Reb had forced him into their activities. But then he remembered that Meat, although beautiful, wasn't too bright. Sometimes his handsomeness fooled people into expecting intelligence from him when there really wasn't that much there to draw upon.
"It might be the only way, Meat," Lonnie said. "If you're in here for life, then it might not be such a bad idea. At least you could be joined up with someone, even if the positions are reversed."
Meat looked at Lonnie for a few minutes, as though he were letting the words run around in his mind for a while.
"Does it feel good?" Meat asked with the innocence of an adolescent. "I mean, how does it feel to be fucked?"
"It feels good. Maybe not at the first time, but after a bit you can even come from it," Lonnie continued, massaging Meat's big prick.
"You mean it?" Meat asked.
For a moment his eyes flickered.
"Come? Do you come when Reb screws you?"
"Sometimes," Lonnie admitted.
"Oh, Lon, it's here,"
Meat whined like a kid. Then Lonnie did something he had never done before. He put his mouth down to the other man's penis. He couldn't get much of his mouth over it, not even beyond the corona, but even for them to be united in some crude fashion. Meat's hands massaged the back of his neck, and he held on lovingly.
"Oh, Lon, Lon, take it. Take it, baby."
But though he tried until his jaws ached and his lips felt they were tearing at the corners, Lon couldn't manage any more. He felt a wave of admiration for Animal, for he had seen what the other had swallowed in the shack. It had made him curious, and now he was finding out. His fondness for Meat overcame any revulsion he might have experienced. He found it wasn't as bad as he'd expected. Given time, he could probably come to enjoy the act. When Lonnie finally came up for air, his face was flushed. Meat slumped to the floor, and he lay back on the concrete floor, his upper torso under the cooling spray of water. Lonnie glanced down at the gradually detumescing penis, the fat length of prick which still throbbed lustily and only gradually began to slump over the bull-like nuts which hung beneath. The sack was so long that the twin globes lay on the concrete.
"I'm sorry, Meat," Lon apologized. I wish I could have taken more."
Meat stirred and sat up slowly, letting the water run through his black hair. He washed his face with both ham-like hands and let some of the water enter his open mouth.
It's all right, Meat mumbled. It's the same old story all the time. Don't sweat it. But there was something tragic in the slump to the man's shoulders. Lonnie thought it was terrible that someone so handsome and gentle should be deprived of human contact. Even more pitiful, he craved that which was denied him. Maybe... Well, anyway, I tried, Lonnie said. Lonnie got under the spray once more. He had begun to feel the heat and to perspire while he worked on the other man. Meat was drying himself with a towel now, and as Lonnie began to do likewise, the other man wrapped the gray cloth about his midsection and left the creaking door. When Lonnie left the shower, he saw George Thompson running toward the mess hall. He was running as though the devil himself were behind him, and it excited Lonnie's curiosity. By the time he had returned to the shack, Meat was almost dressed in a clean uniform, and Lonnie began to do likewise. As he was tucking his shirt tail into his trousers, Meat put his arm around his shoulders and kissed him. Thanks, buddy, Meat squeezed him. I really appreciate the hand job. You're a nice kid. Lonnie knew how much Meat needed something. He needed not only connection, he needed affection and love. Lonnie realized that underneath his large frame and dull mind, there existed a primitive need to be loved and cared for, to be wanted. But Lonnie had no time to dwell upon the subject, for he felt Meat stiffen. Looking out the door, Lonnie saw Thompson returning, still running like crazy and followed by Maddox. Several other guards accompanied them. Come on, Meat rasped, his voice hoarse. Something's happened. Lonnie ran with them. The mob seemed to be headed for the stable. Lonnie's throat constricted. Oh, Lord, he thought. He remembered that he hadn't seen Jazz around for quite some time, not since he'd seen him through the knothole in the barn. Something happened to Jazz. Meat was way ahead of him, and by the time Lonnie arrived, out of breath, the group of men was standing by the barn door. Thompson had his hands on his hips and a grim expression on his face. Thompson and Maddox looked worried, although they tried to cover it up by harassing some of the inmates who had come running along with them. Okay, stand back, Maddox shouted, his red face angry. Lonnie looked into the barn. His stomach heaved and his head reeled. He wanted to vomit, to faint, to get away from there immediately. Jazz was hanging from one of the rafters by a piece of harness leather, which he must have cut from the horse's bridle. His eyes were bulged and his tongue protruded from between purple lips. Worst of all, Lonnie thought, was the sight of his limp cock and the trickle of fluid which, upon death, had emptied down his thigh.